Every April, people go through the laborious process of gathering up various receipts and documents that chronicle their income and expenses from the previous year and file their income tax returns, income taxes being one of many sources of government revenue. So, is the tax system fair, and what do taxpayers get in return? Seth Klein is the director of the BC section of the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, the CCPA, and I interviewed him yesterday by phone, and I began by asking him what, in addition to income taxes, are the taxes that BC residents pay?
Well, at the individual or household level, we pay income taxes, but we also pay sales taxes and property taxes and carbon taxes and MSP premiums. And so when we look at the tax system and the question of its fairness, we like to look at all of them combined.
We often hear of, with regard to income taxes at least, that they could be progressive, regressive, or proportional. Maybe you could briefly explain what those terms mean.
Yeah, well, the income tax system itself is progressive, and by progressive, what we mean is that the more you make, the more money you have. Not only do you pay more in tax dollars, but you pay more as a share of your income. So the tax rate increases, and so you know when people are filling out their tax forms, they may be, you know, you can see that as your income goes up, you enter new tax brackets with higher rates. But all the other taxes that we pay are regressive, meaning while wealthier people may pay more in dollars, they pay less as a share of their income. So, you know, MSP premiums are probably the most regressive of them all, where unless you qualify for a very low income subsidy, it's not only a flat rate, but it's a flat head tax. Everyone pays the same amount, regardless of income.
So you mentioned with regards to the income tax that at least is progressive, but of course it could be progressive to various degrees. How does the BC system rate when you look at the degree of progressiveness in the tax structure?
Well, the BC income tax remains progressive, but less so than it used to be. So people may remember that one of the first things that the Campbell government did when they were elected was significantly cut income taxes. And they cut all five brackets, but in a way that the upper brackets benefited even more. And so we now have it's still progressive, but it's flatter than it used to be. And the same is true federally as well. Once upon a time, we used to have 10 federal tax brackets, and now we have 4. There's certainly scope to make the system much more progressive than it is.
And with regards to the bottom part of the income makers in the province, how would you compare the amount of taxes they pay to relation to people on middle income or the wealthiest?
Well, if we're only looking at income taxes, then very low income people pay little or nothing in income taxes. But they end up paying a sizable share of their income towards other taxes, sales taxes, and even, you know, we often think, oh, well, if they're renters, they're not paying property taxes. But really, property taxes end up being embedded in the rent that people pay. They end up paying carbon taxes. So they're certainly paying taxes, just not income taxes.
Is there any way that there are calculations of overall what percentage of income goes to taxation from the different level of earners?
Yeah, so we've done that, and we actually did that in a paper looking at the overall progressivity of, or lack thereof, of the BC tax system back in June. And what emerged was a pretty amazing finding, which is a huge shift between the year 2000 and the year 2010, where back in 2000, when you consider all of our taxes together, we basically had a flat tax system, where once you got to the wealthiest 10%, it actually was a little progressive. Fast forward to 2010, and we have an out-and-out regressive tax system in British Columbia, meaning the more you make, the less your overall tax rate. So someone who is, say, in the poorest, a household in the poorest 20%, would probably pay an overall tax rate of around 14%. In the middle, it's around 13%, and the wealthiest 10% would be paying more like 11%.
So the more you make, the less you contribute.
The less as a share of your income. And that is really the legacy of the personal income tax cuts when the Campbell government was first elected. And for very wealthy people, the value of those tax cuts is immense. So, for example, if you're among the wealthiest 10% of households, the annual value of those tax cuts to you is about $9,000 a year. If you're in the top 1%, which is much in the news these days with Occupy Wall Street and the like, the value of the Campbell tax cuts to you is equivalent to $41,000 a year, meaning that's how much less you're paying in taxes than you would have paid if the same tax rate that prevailed in 2000 prevailed today.
So that's 10 years of a massive, massive shift. No wonder people are out occupying.
Yeah, and the reason that value is of the tax cut is so large for that top 1% is because they're doing so fantastically well. Over that same 10-year period, if you just look at their income, the average for the top 1% of BC households saw their income increase from about $600,000 a year in 2000 to $820,000 a year in 2010. So when you're making that much money, even modest tax cuts are very valuable to you.
Let's look at the proposed HST from the point of view of fairness, regressive, progressive. How would you have evaluated that proposal for taxation?
Well, the 2010 numbers that we were working with captured the first half year of the implementation of the HST, and I would say that the HST contributed to the erosion of tax fairness in the province, but I would also say that it was a bit player next to the significance of the income tax cuts earlier in the decade. In many respects, I think culturally, the HST was really the last straw for people, that people have this intuitive awareness that we have seen some regressive shifts in our tax system from corporations to individuals, and at the household level, from wealthier households to modest households, and the HST was just the last straw. And similarly with the carbon tax, the government did bring in these low-income credits, which do help to offset the regressiveness of these sales taxes for the very poor, but the ones who end up getting really whacked by it are those at the sort of modest and middle income range, and that's where you really see the regressive impact.
We've talked about how taxes are collected or the rates at which they're collected, but there's the other dimension of it, how they're used. If we look at the federal government now, they've just dumped $35 billion of taxes or tax revenue into making warships and the ships to help make war. If we look at BC, is there a comment you'd like to make in terms of how the taxes that are collected are used? Are they used in meeting needs, or there are inadequacies in that area?
Well, you're certainly right that it matters to a great extent in thinking about the progressivity of a system, how the money's being spent. And, for example, in many Scandinavian countries, they actually are heavily reliant on sales taxes like an HST, much more so than we were contemplating. And those are regressive. But in those Scandinavian countries, they end up being progressive because of how they're spending the money on a social safety net and on a social program infrastructure that puts us to shame and becomes progressive in that way. There are certainly ways in which both levels of government use the money in ways that don't do anything to help with progressivity, whether it's military expenditures like you mentioned, the prison complex that we're now going to see increasingly coming down the pipe, or in the case of BC, spending $500 million on a new roof for BC Place. That said, by and large, both federal and provincial tax dollars go towards transfers to individuals and social programs that do have a progressive outcome, where lower-income households and middle-income households are disproportionately beneficiaries. And that's a good thing, and that's something the CCP has also looked at federally in another study a couple of years ago. But it's also an area where we could see real improvements. And I think one of the things we've been trying to raise at the CCPA is that, gripe as we all do about taxes, if we're actually going to rise to the challenge of eliminating poverty, if we're actually going to rise to the challenge of climate change, we're going to have to spend more money than we're currently collecting. And the question before us is how do we want to do that in a fair and effective manner?
And how should that be decided? Do you have a suggestion in that regard? The discussion about a fair way of collecting and allocating tax revenue.
Well, one of the things that we've been talking up is the idea of a fair tax commission. A very broad public process, similar to, say, the Citizens Assembly on Electoral Reform or the Conversation on Health, where the public is provided with really good facts on the current system and how we raise the money that we do and a range of options and is invited to deliberate and engage in trade-offs and figuring out how much money we want to raise collectively to pay for the things that we want to do together and how we want to raise that. And I think if we were really invited into a process like that, the outcome would be very positive.
And that was Seth Klein. He's the director of the BC section of the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.